Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome to the Rainbow Coalition of Rock Medicine Women. This is Beata, your host, along with Mama AZ in Arizona. And together we're bringing you some words of healing, words of empowerment, words of truth. And in the background, we start off this show with some Native American songs, music, rhythms to bring comfort to you, your soul, to bring peace to your soul. This song is called Great Plains by John Seri. Beautiful sound of the flute to bring soothing energy to your soul. We bring this show to you to overcome nature deficit disorder and to bring to light the power of stones, the power of trees, the power of water, the power of rock medicine to heal, restore, and renew. So thank you for joining us. Thank you all who are tuning in tonight. And I say welcome to my sister in Arizona. Good evening or afternoon, Mama AZ. How are you?
Can you hear me, Sister Viata?
Yes, you're coming in loud and clear.
Okay, well, if you hear some water in the background, I'm washing these little cute little maters, meaning tomatoes, that I got from my friend Charles, who's a connoisseur of growing food.
Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah.
They're so cute. I put them up on my counter, and I really didn't want to eat them because I like to, you know how I am. I like to decorate with different things, but I said, the heck with this. I'm going to eat these maters. I can go and get me some more.
There's nothing like fresh-picked tomatoes.
Oh, my God. And you made sure that I got the right, the Himalaya salt, because you said, okay, Mama AZ, you can't be putting any more of this crap salt in your system. So you went to the health food store, Whole Foods, and demanded that I eat this salt. So that's what I'm, Morton's salt, I'm eating the Himalayan. But I am grateful, sister. I am grateful.
And let me just share with listeners what's the difference between the Morton and the Himalayan pink salt is minerals. Minerals. You have a lot more minerals in the Himalayan pink salt. And so the minerals help to your body. The minerals help your body to process the Himalayan pink salt. So for those of you who think you can't eat salt or use salt on your food, just try switching to the pink Himalayan salt. And see if that makes a difference, because now you're getting more minerals, which is a lot of what we're deficient in. Many people are deficient in some type of mineral or another. So just sprinkle a little Himalayan salt, and you don't even need as much salt. Have you found that, Mama Maisie? You don't need as much salt when you use pink Himalayan salt.
You don't.
You get that flavor quickly.
It's correct. And so I'm just enjoying these last bit of maters until I can get over there to my friend Charles and get some more. But, sister, I've been shifting energies all day, and greetings to the listening audiences and all the my star brothers and sisters, especially from the Pallades, the medical ship. I want to talk about that later on, a little bit later, but I've just been floating, sister. Your visit was so awesome, so off the chain. It's not even funny, sister. And I've made some very powerful decisions about my life and where do I go from this point, and it's a lot of clarity. I give thanks to you, sister, for just allowing me to make this journey with you, and I'm going to do my best not to get all emotional and start crying, because I'm happy, and my mineral people, I gave them a bath today, and they're happy. I've shifted them around, and they're getting ready to go to Virginia, to Mothers for the Earth in Alton, Virginia, to be a part of the Milky Way spiral, the medicine spiral there. So my body permitted me to do that. MatCon people is no joke. And the Sweat Lodge in Guadalupe is no joke. I've been sweating for, I think, since 83, however long that is. And these four, five sweats that I've had this time around Sister can tell you, meaning Sister Viata, I went to the sweat lodge without the aid of my walker and my cane. Not saying it wasn't a bit challenging, but it wasn't challenging enough that I needed those aids at that particular time. And I'm downloading, Sister. I'm downloading, Sister Viata. And people, let me tell you, Sister Viata threw me out of my own room, and I had to bunk on the floor. And however, I just full of it. I'm grateful because this sister left such a powerful, positive room full of energy. And I'm not saying it's supposed to give you the big head. It's a fact. It's a fact. And you showed me that I'm not alone. You've proven to me that the Ascended Master, the Most High, all of my relations, the relatives, have my back. You've shown me why I had to get on up out of here, meaning leave Arizona. The ancestors called to me to come to Virginia first, Gullah Geechee Nation, which is Florida, and then from there to Virginia. Virginia first, and then I moved to Gullah Geechee Nation, St. Augustine, Florida, in Jacksonville, and then they called me again to uproot from Florida and move to North Carolina. And I lived in Virginia and North Carolina for years, back and forth at my store at the time. And I'm downloading, Sister, because of your gift that the ancestors ask you to gift me, the gift of the healer, Matt Kahn. And what's so interesting about Matt Kahn, the only difference in his name and my name is one letter. Mine is K-O-H-N, and his is K-A-H-N. And when Miss Lydia brought it to my attention, Miss Lydia Haley, down in Beaufort, North Carolina, she says, "Ari, you better do yourself a favor, because exactly what you're going through, Matt Kahn is talking about now." And she sent me this thing via on my phone, and I listened, and the rest is history. I'm very grateful to the Most High, Sister. I'm very grateful that I listen to my intuition. I'm very, very grateful to be where I am at this very moment, because I'm recognizing why I came to the parents that I did, so that I could be connected to my extended family that did not come through my mother's gate. And there's so much more that I can share, but I'll be quiet and allow you to express about your journey here, because I really want to know.
Well, we have, I think, Brother Kwame on the line, too. So I just, before I let Brother Kwame share, I want to just give maybe our audience a quick summary of Matt Kahn's teaching in Sedona. I was so blessed to be in Sedona with all that beautiful rock energy and vortex energy. If you've never been to Sedona, that's some place you have to go before you leave this planet. It is just an amazing visual blessing for you. It's amazing visual medicine. It's visual medicine because when you look at all that beauty in the rocks, you can't help but praise and thank our Creator for giving us such a picture on this earth. It's just awesome. So to have Matt Kahn, a spiritual teacher, give us some wisdom and overstanding for over an hour was especially healing for so many of us. And then we got blessed by someone in that group gave us their room, a room that's approximately $200 a night. They just gave it over to us because they felt the lesson that Matt Kahn gave inspired them to practice what he was teaching. So we were gifted in Sedona to have someone give us a perfect stranger, total stranger, give us his room, a $200 room for the night with a brook in the back, no more than 300 or 400 feet away, a jacuzzi, a kitchen. I mean, it was awesome. So Matt Kahn's message, just to give everyone kind of a summary of what we inhaled that evening, one of the messages he gave us was that everything is of the Creator. Everything is of Yahuwah, as I call him, our Creator. Everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, is all the Creator. That was one of the messages. And so what he inspired us and asked us to start thinking is, what if everything was just funny? What if everything has humor? What if your brother and your sister who irritate you to no end are just funny now? They just make you laugh because of their stupidity or hunger or whatever. They just make you laugh. And then Matt Kahn's message that everything is of the Creator, then you have to look at death the same way. While I was in Arizona, we experienced a birth of a great-grandchild of Mama A.Z., Kylie, I believe, a beautiful
Kaylee Grace. Oh, she's a bad
member. And then within the same day, we were informed that a mother was getting ready to leave. A 90-year-old woman was about to leave. What an amazing contrast to understand everything is of the Creator. Birth, death, we witnessed it in one day. Someone coming into the planet in the form of an infant, and someone leaving the planet in the form of a decaying old body that has had it seen its year, 90 years on the earth, and one day it was just an amazing adventure. So we want to inspire you and encourage you on this show tonight to think of everything has coming from the universe, death, challenges, bad brothers, good sisters, evil people, hate, because the scriptures remind us that the wickedness on the earth will come to an end. Evil will come to an end. And those who are practicing consciousness and righteousness are going to be established in the earth. They are going to run the earth. So if you're conscious, you're going to be ruling the earth soon. If you're unconscious, you may have to leave the earth because making room for the babies who are conscious. So I want to welcome, I believe it's Brother Kwame. Are you on the air, Kwame?
Yes, I am, and thank you for sharing your adventure and journey. And I'm also Miss AZ also. I greet you both. And,
yes,
you know, It's very, that's why I told you when we spoke, I said you have to go to Sedona, because Sedona is a portal and a vortex, especially Bell's Rock and Cathedral Rock, because of that energy of the mineral people with the iron, because that's what's in our blood. And it's very healing when you are in that energy, and mountain energy is very subtle. And you spoke about the lodge and the death and rebirth and going into that ceremony was part of what life is, and that's part of the spiritual journey we're all here to do, because in the word spiritual is the word ritual. And the lodge, the Anipe ceremony, is a death and rebirth in the womb of Mother Earth and connecting back to the universe using the mineral people and the four elements. So I'm grateful to hear, you know, the energy of what you all both experience and being able to share it with the world through this web of spiritual technology. We've been given the opportunity to experience these parts of ourselves because this is all who we are. All of this is the universe within. This is why I speak about the involution, because this is the part of what we're going in this new journey around the Milky Way, and especially the women, because she's the womb of the cosmos here on Earth. And so to hear what you're sharing and how you enjoyed the experience of another human speaking truth and looking at life and saying that, you know, things can be looked at as funny, because laughter is a very healing and powerful tool that a human being does. And you can even watch little babies when they come into the world, how they already know how to smile and how to put that energy out. I'm sitting outside, you know, here in Cali with kids playing up and down the street, watching them have fun in the sun here. And Ms. AZ called me and said that the show, because I know there's 3 hours difference, and I wanted to tune in, and I don't know what it is that you would like for me to share, you know, because your experience is unique unto you, to each of you, and Source is giving you the information, as Ms. AZ said, the download, and especially when you were in Sedona, because I've had the experience. I just left Sedona in April. You know, I was there. And to be able to experience it again and live out there for 10 days in the desert and Red Canyon right below Sedona, between Sedona and Cottonwood, it was awesome. You know, it was cold as whatever at night, but the energy was just awesome. And to visit and look at the glyphs that the ancestors wrote, and the messages were there, and the others who were indigenous from South America and Canada and different parts of the world came there to gather and share information was very powerful. And so it's this time for us to be aware of this new involution and rebirthing of the human, the new Homo sapien, because we're becoming the Homo spiritus, and this is what we're having a gift given to us from Source, or whatever name one chooses to call. These are the gifts, and I learned long ago that they say God has no hands or feet. That's why he uses people. So it's through the people that we have come into our life, be they good, bad, or indifferent. You know, it's all part of Source's creation. So we have to learn to look at that and see it for its beauty within all the ugliness that may be there, but it wasn't born that way.
And you know, Kwame, that's why I'm starting to see why everyone needs to find time to travel all over the United States. Whether you're hitchhiking or whatever, you just said it. It's the people that you meet that really show you the love of the Creator. It's the people that you meet that help you understand who you are. Oh, my goodness, just that brief journey that I was on, it was the people whose voices I had never heard, whose faces I had never seen, that caused me to stay in gratitude and joy and laughter and really enjoy my journey on this earth. So you hit it on the head. The people, you need to get out of your little box and explore this beautiful land called the United States. You don't have to leave this country to explore some of the most awesome landscape and people and beauty on the earth.
Right, and this is the part that we were brought here for. There are no mistakes. Those ancestors that are in our lineage were put here on this fertile island at this time in order that we chose through them to come and be on this space, in this now moment, in this place to do and experience what it is that we're to experience, because the part is that there is purpose here. And the thing that happens with it is the African says, a person is a person because there are people. Because if you are not that person, then we're not people, you know. And so this is the part of our new experience in this involution and being able to see ourselves in others. Because there's, like we say, going in the lodge, all my relations. I'm related to everything in the above and in the below. In heaven,
right,
as it is in earth. And in the earth is the energy and the source of what all we as humans need. This is how everything that grows gets what comes from in earth. The roots are in the earth. Our souls walk on the earth. That's the bottom of your feet. And so it's all connected.
Yes. Yes. And you don't feel that connection until you get out there and explore the land.
Yeah, and I was in Chicago, and it really got to me because that's kind of why I left up in that area. And Spike Lee was there, and they were having big controversies about the killing because they're calling it, he's making a movie called Chi-Raq, because there have been more killing of young black men and black people in Chicago than in the Iraq War and Afghanistan War combined. Here in the country.
Brother Kwame, I have a question.
Go ahead.
What's with that energy there from your point of view in Chicago? Do you think it's because it's a gateway, a portal to a certain particular area from another dimension that is why Chicago
is okay.
You know where I'm going
not,
with this, right?
Yeah, I know where you're going with it. And no, this is by design, because I grew up there and I saw what had been implemented in the genocidal process and regentrification of our people. And what they began to do is to, you know, disperse the people in the neighborhood and began to break up the families and began to create these type of environments that is most conducive for self-destruction, be it what the environment is influencing those children born in that type of environment. Yes, some do come out, but the environment in itself is the energy of what has been perpetuated by a system that creates failure. You know, we talk about the United States of America. America means just when the A-M-E-R, Amer, means beloved or eagle, and eagle is in German. But Amer means beloved, and Rika is rich. And so you said the United States of the beloved rich. They're going to keep that wealth. They're going to keep themselves in that position of power. And what we're seeing is that how they are distributing what is your natural birthright, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And this has been perpetuated in this system that has been set up. But the spiritual part that we're experiencing is shifting. I've had the honor to be, you know, see the civil rights movement and to see a black president and to see the divine feminine, the four black women that are in the White House, honor the black woman who is the mother of mankind. That's the part of what seeing how spirit works in spite of all what man attempts to do.
Okay, so, now go ahead. I apologize.
No, but I was seeing with that to answer your question. There's not a vortex open. It's very Chicago has one of the most beautiful skylines on Lake Michigan. And it was discovered by DuSable, which was a black man who opened up a trading store and established it with the Indians and the Africans that were there traveling along that waterway and utilizing that lake. That's how Chicago got discovered.
Did you know that, Sister Bialta?
Yeah, I live from Chicago as well. So, yeah, that history, that's one of the things we learned in school about Chicago. And the Most High has always been using men of color to do great things. And so we have to just know that the Most High is going to use whomever and whatever, and it's all the Most High.
Right, and I'm very commending what you're saying, but every man is born of a woman. So in that greatness of a man, he came through the womb of a woman. We have to balance and honor. And there were great women that will also help establish Chicago, because DuSable Museum was established by a black woman. I mean, there are great things. Michelle Obama comes from Chicago. So it's looking at these parts of what we have to give honor to the divine feminine and give the balance. Every struggle that we have took on has been started by a woman, as far as black people.
Now,
and don't you think, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm saying, don't you think that also what's going on in Chicago is there's a need for spiritual growth in that place? And so all these events that seem tragic, that seem all these deaths and the killings, it's all meant to help the people in that land grow spiritually.
Yeah, but it's part of something that happens there in that land, because I've watched it. And you can have a shooting of a young, like they just did up there, a 7-month-old baby and an 8-year-old child was shot in a drive-by with that. But then you have a white person shot, and all of a sudden they can discover them by, pizza, his DNA on a pizza, and find a black man. You can do that same thing with those that are there if you are willing to do it. That area of Inglewood and over there is what the new part of what they're getting rid of the people, because I remember when the politics were going on, and even when King came there, Dr. King said, I've never seen racism. I've been all through the South, but I've never seen the racism that I've seen here in Chicago when he was there dealing with fair housing, because there are some of the most racist and vicious people in that area. And even in the North, you look at it, that's where the Klan started in Indiana. They didn't start in the South. They started right down from up there in the North. Slavery didn't start in the South. Slavery started in Virginia. It started in the New York and all of those states up there. That's where the trade began. That's how Wall Street got its name. The slave ships that came in there and the people that were taken off of it smelled so bad that they had to build a wall in order to keep down the stench until they could clean them up and sell them, bring them out on the street and sell them. That's how Wall Street got its name. There's a book called Black Holocaust by Sam Anderson, Holocaust for the Beginners, and you can read all of the things in which has been established in this world by the use of what they did with selling human beings, because it's a business. It's been going on since 1455 when the Papyrus Bull was written by the Pope, saying that you have the right to go into any land, and any infidel that is not of a Christian, enslave, put them into perpetual slavery and take their land and all of their riches. This has been going on, 560 years now.
Yeah, and I can't help but think about my dad. My dad was in the Great Migration from Louisiana. He and his mother left New Orleans, Jim Crow, Louisiana, in 1936 or somewhere in the night, right in the beginning of the Great Depression. My dad and his mother got on a train and went to Chicago. And even with all the tragedies that my dad experienced, his mother died at 36 of ovarian cancer, his aunt died, his father died, all these people were dying. So this is like nothing new. But my dad was chosen. I believe there was a divine hand on my dad to be protected, even in World War II, and to influence hundreds, if not thousands, of Chicago youth as a teacher. And he, even though he started out playing pro football, he didn't want a career in pro football. He wanted to teach because of the tragedies that he experienced as a youth, from Jim Crow to Chicago ghettos to the projects. The Creator put in him a desire to change the lives of hundreds and thousands of youth, young children. And so even in the situation going on right now in Chicago, there are plenty of people planted in that area who are going to make a big difference in the lives of the youth in there. Look at Naima Latif, for instance, and all the connections that woman has.
Naima Latif, you've got, you know, Jawanza Kanjufu. You've got the Comedic Institute there, Northeastern University, right there in the middle of the hood on the lakefront. You had Father Lawler, who was the first black priest to adopt a black male child.
In
Chicago over Holy Angel School. That's where the first black newspaper came out of, the Chicago Defender, Robert S. Abbott. I went to grammar school at Robert S. Abbott. This is how I know, you know, about who our people were, because there's a certain information about inducere, education, bringing out of the child, because this is what, you know, this whole thing of Jim Crow and Brown versus the Board of Education was about. He's coming out in the 30s, which right now, today, Louisiana is the prison capital of the world. It has more prisons and incarceration there in Louisiana. And Louisiana was part of the Louisiana Purchase, that Arkansas and Louisiana, because Toussaint Louverture and Dessalines overthrew the French in Haiti, and the French had to sell us that land in order to cover their debt. I mean, it's anyway. But
it's all funny. We have to see it. We have to find the humor in it. It is funny because the Creator is directing all this. We have to keep that in mind. There's a director of all this chaos.
There,
the prisons in Louisiana, it's all being directed for a divine purpose.
They say if you want to hear God laugh, just tell him you got a plan.
Right, exactly. Exactly, and this plan seems crazy to all of us, these prisons and these deaths and these killings. It seems crazy, but the big picture will be revealed before our eyes.
Yeah, it's unfolding because you just look at 50 years ago, we were marching for civil rights. 100 years ago, 150 years ago, we were just getting out of slavery. Now look at today. We're talking on the World Wide Web with the techno-spiritual communication to the world about us as a people. Just 150 years ago, we couldn't even fathom this. We couldn't even fathom education and schools, what your father did and the things that we're doing. We couldn't fathom that, you know, we would be in Arizona where a Moor who walked and knew and was killed by the Zuni Indians there that led the Spanish across Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, out of Texas through Arizona and New Mexico.
Yeah. And Mama AZ, tell them about Brother Manny, who was spent, how many years did he spend in prison? 30 years in prison? Please share about Brother Manny and what happened to him as a result of prison, talking about prison.
I think she's dropped a call or she's not there. Something happened.
Mama AZ, are you there? She's still here, I think. Mama AZ, are you there? Well, I'll start out and then maybe she'll pick up. We had, let me see, she dropped out. Mama AZ, are you there now?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Did you hear me about,
about
Brother Manny?
Yes. Goodness, I would rather for you to share that, Sister Viata, because I want to listen.
Well, we met. Brother Manny was leading the sweatshop the first time I was there, and this young man, was so humble, so knowledgeable, and so full of wisdom. Oh my goodness, wisdom was pouring out of him. And I had no idea when he came to visit us, about a week after that he had been in prison twice.
Yes, ma'am.
25 years, yes. The first time, and then I think maybe 10 or 12. And he made a statement, I have spent half my life in prison. But the transformation of this man after all those years in prison is just awesome. So awesome.
And
so full of
look
prayer.
At him, you wouldn't believe that he was 51.
He's
pushing 52, I believe, now. And I'm like, what?
Right.
You know, like, okay. It's amazing. But let me be quiet, and I need to listen.
Well, it's like, isn't that funny? You know, going back to Matt Kahn's teaching, isn't it funny that you, Manny, sit before us after 50 years in prison with wisdom pouring out of you, with love pouring out of you, more love for his female partner. He was more concerned about her health and what he could do for her. And just the love of being in that sweat, you could just tell all those hours that we spent with this man and him leading the sweat lodge were just so uplifting, so inspiring, so powerful, and the words that came out of him were just healing. So with all the prisons in Louisiana, all I can think is, isn't it funny that all those men are being trained in prison to be more like Manny? That's how I see that now. If they come out of there like Manny did, they're going to be awesome. They're going to be awesome.
Right. Yeah.
And so prison is their training ground.
Yeah, because I'm going back to Georgia. I'll be back there because I'm flying into Florida on Monday, and I got a layover, and then I go back to Georgia. And my son is getting out of prison in July, and so I've got to prepare for him and to go down and see him one last time there in that institution, but to go and know that in July I can go pick him up and he'll be out of those walls. So,
hallelujah.
Yeah, you know.
Hallelujah. A training ground.
So, right. But sometimes that some of the great scholars came out of there, because you look at El-Hajj Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X. I mean, went there, you know, as a pimp, drug dealer, and doing all the things that he did, but turned around and came to lead a nation and establishing a nation, and was one of the great orators in our movement of freedom.
That's right. That's right. So prison is not such a bad thing. If that's what happens, then the divine hand has led you and put these people in there, and they can't but come out better if they do the work in that prison and not sit
they
be
say,
complaining.
Isn't what is in the Psalms? It says, he maketh me lie down beside still water. Some places he makes you lie down and behind still walls. You know.
That's right.
So you have to
know.
Isn't that
still
funny?
Yeah.
Sister, Brother Kwame, that's why I have always called it Vacation Bible School, because actually, if you really look at it, that's what it is.
That's another form. And you're correct, Ms. AZ, because the first prisons that were established in this country by the Quakers in the 1700s in Philadelphia, City of Brotherly Love, were called penitentiaries. You were sentenced there. You were given a candle and a Bible, and you had to read that Bible and do penance, and you were not allowed to speak. And you served your time in silence, and you did your penance. That's where the word penitentiary comes from. It wasn't until the 1860s, after the release of us, that they came into what they call penance, because the transfer of ownership, but what they had to do in creating the new slave trade was to write it in the amendments, the 13th Amendment, which says neither slavery nor indentured servitude, except if you are duly convicted of a crime in the United States or its commonwealth. When you're convicted of a crime, that means that your rights as being able to vote and being able to serve military, being able to live in Section 8 homes nowadays, but all of those rights are taken, so you're putting back into either indentured servitude or slavery. So it's a system that has never ended. But the part of it is, it can, when you understand how to teach young boys and young women because right now there's over a million women going into the system because of the welfare system. And we're not the main people. We're only a small 85% of the welfare people recipients are white, not black.
Right, right.
But they portray through the media as being this is because it wants to give it the negative stereotyping that we're homeless, I mean, we're shiftless and not working and got all these kids. But when you go into times in grocery stores and stand there and watch four or five carts of food being put up to the counter and paid with EBT cards and Billy Bob and Heather is standing there in line with four or five, you know, then you got a different feeling.
Oh, my, Billy Bob and Heather. Where'd you come up with those names? Okay, that's right. So the lesson is do your penance before, not after you're arrested with criminal charges.
Yeah, because we were talking, and I told a friend of mine was saying, you know, it's free to go to jail, but it costs you to get out.
Yep, that's right.
It's free.
That's right.
It's free. It's free to go, but it's going to cost you to come out.
Yeah, so wisdom says do your penance first, now. Do your penance now, not later.
Right. So anyway, but I got to get back and do this, and I just had to tap in and share the experience with you all had in there in Sedona in Arizona. And, you know, this is part of the new involution and the downloading that you received to bring back to Florida, you know.
Right.
And you're there to do the carrying on of the message that's going to start coming from you. That you're going, where did this come from? Where did these thoughts? Because you opened the door to your
brother
heart.
Brother Kwame, before you go, sir, I need you to, Sister Bianca, she was kind of blown away, taken back by the sweat lodge and the person that ran the sweat lodge this time around. And share the experience, Sister Viata, that you had with the curator or the person who ran the sweat lodge and the brother that was in there who was kind of toasty.
You know, we had people in that sweat lodge this time, the second time around, Kwame, who revealed to me their depression because what I was hearing was life is hard. Life is hard. And we are not adjusting well to death. There were several who were asking for prayer for those who had passed on, and they were still grieving for these people. And so what I was hearing, and then the person who led the sweat, he was talking about he had spent time in the hospital, and he was trying to overcome a heart condition. And then after the sweat, he's smoking a cigarette. So my mind was in confusion. Because, you know, this sacred place of a sweat lodge, there seemed to be a lack of full understanding about the sacredness of the human body and the words that were being used, like life is hard, and I can't adjust to the death. So maybe you could just help us understand the minds of the natives who are struggling so much with the medical system, the matrix, really. And the words that they're speaking, some of them, oh my goodness, creating their own hard living conditions.
Just like I was saying about Chicago, you know, that part is a system because they were not enslaved, but they were also part of this shifting of this taking of the land, like I was telling you about the topless bull.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, because I was trying to show I'm going to do something. But, you know, the part that happened with that brother being there was, for one, for you all to see.
Yeah.
That is part of what needs the healing for those type of people. And that he made it there, even though he may want to still carry those thoughts. the energy that was put into him in the unconscious will manifest in time if he keeps coming back into that ceremony and beginning to listen and feel what Creator is allowing him to release. You know, for you to be in that ceremony and to be able to talk about it and get the experience of the mineral people, the facilitator doing the ceremony, the grandfather's breath, and all of that energy is a healing process which he needed in order to help him detox. Because in getting that out of him with that toxins coming out through sweating, and then him releasing through the conscious mind of saying what's going on with him, what's doing this, you know, and I get this all the time because I'm a smoker, and I'm not going to hide what I do. And the thing that happens is people look at me when I fire up and they're like, how can you be so spiritual but and smoke? That, what does that have to do with my spirituality? Part of it is I see what they're saying about the body and respecting the temple. But this part of me as to who I was once upon a time and who I am today, I'm grateful that it's just a cigarette because I know where I came from. So it's that knowing that that person is there, that that's an opportunity for him to shift. We can't pass judgment and just great, but for the grace of God, he was there. He could have been somewhere else doing something else. So, but he was there, experienced it, even though it didn't seem right for him to be there. That's where Source had him, because everybody that's supposed to be there will be there. This is what I've learned. It is not by our making, and it's not by our choosing to say who's there and who can't, because, you know, really other than, you know, somebody being drunk or you know they're on drugs, you can't allow them in there. Because of the energy of what damage could happen to them with that in them, with those spirits in them that may have an effect on their body.
Well, don't get me wrong. I think everybody who was there was supposed to be there, and I was supposed to hear their words and their heartbeat. You know, their heartbeat was saying to me, I need help. I need love. I need compassion. I need a lot that I'm not getting out of this sweat lodge. Outside of the sweat lodge is what's lacking in my life. But that sweat lodge was giving them exactly what they needed in that moment. But I think the lesson for me was when you leave the sweat lodge, you got to be more compassionate. You got to be more loving to your natives, to everyone. Because we don't know. There are people who are not going to a sweat lodge and share in their heart like these people did.
Right, but there's a part too in that he's going back into an environment that is not, that is conducive to his way of life. So if that's what the part is looking at the environment that a person has to come from that to come into a spiritual setting and then go back into that, you know.
Yeah.
And so that part of whatever his experience was what Source gave him to know there's a difference that you can be in. You have a chance, you change, and a choice are the two things every human being has.
Yeah.
And he chooses, and he has, you know, to find a way to change that which is going on. Your enemy outside of you can't harm you if there's no enemy within you. This is where the part of addiction comes in, that is the enemy within us.
Mm-hmm.
That causes us to try to fight or use substance to get out to anesthetize ourselves. And see, that ceremony is a way in which helps to release and allow spirit to get into you. Even in your unconscious, you're getting downloaded. Those grandfathers that come out of that sacred fire and come into that lodge and that water's poured on them and that grandfather's breath is created, that is releasing the oldest DNA on the planet is in that water, in that steam that's coming off of there, and you're breathing it in and taking in that energy as you're releasing those toxic waters that's inside of your body. So it was a good thing that he was there. You know,
and maybe
he'll come back. And you were saying about the brother that was 50 years in prison. I mean, how many other years he was in prison? You know, for him to be able to be humbled enough to facilitate and come and give the energy that he was giving.
It's amazing, and it's the multi levels of dimensions of human emotions going there. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, but that's why they tell you when you crawl in, you're dying, and when you crawl out, you're alive. Death and rebirth.
Yes.
And that's
the way it's
right.
Kind of like a church. It's their way
of going to
church.
That's a Native American church. That's all it is.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Go in
it's
and
a Native
sweat.
American. That's why you can't. That's why you, if you go to a sweat lodge and you have to pay, you're not doing traditional sweat.
Yeah.
Because you can't charge to go to church, just like you can't charge to go into a lodge.
Yeah.
You can make offerings like tithes, but you don't have to pay. You go there to pray. And the elements are brought there for you to do that and bring you into the oneness with who you need to be with, Source.
Yes, yes, indeed. It was all an awesome experience. I wouldn't have changed it for the world. It was
so much came
to learn from that and to improve my own character and perspective and love. And it was worth every minute of it.
Okay, but I'm gonna have to get off and I got to get back to what
Brother
I was doing.
Thank you, Brother Kwame. We love you. Love us.
Love us. All right.
Love us. Aho.
Aho.
Wow. Sister.
Wow. Yes.
Wow. I'm just grateful for all the time that you spent was just here, it was exceptional. It really was.
Perfect timing, everything.
Yes, it was. It really was. And for those who may be listening, Sister Viata, she was saying, "Where is Mama AZ? She's not in the bed. Where is she? What happened, Sister Viata?"
You were in a tent in the kitchen. Mama AZ pitched a tent in the hotel room.
No, it wasn't the hotel. It was a cabin. In the kitchen. And I was just trying my best to not wake Sister Viata, but I couldn't. Oh, my God. I was having pitching my tent and eating cheese.
Yeah,
it was so beautiful
order.
Because the gentleman who gifted us this bodacious, awesome cabin, I think it's called Oak Creek, and he left some cheese in there, and oh my God, I had a field day munching on cheese. And Charles's tomatoes. I know how to say it, y'all. You know, and cheese, a little bit of cheese, and a little tomato. And I was having myself a good old time until I finally got my tent up, and I crashed. And it was like God. I woke up. Sister Viata says, "You gotta hurry up. We gotta go. He's coming at 10. He's coming at 10. You got to get up. You got to get up." And I'm thinking to myself, "Sister, why don't you take a chill pill?" I didn't say that to
her. I knew that was what you were thinking.
That's right. He's not coming. Even if you know he's not going to catch me naked, you know, and I'm just chilling and just taking my time. So I got everything coordinated.
And you know,
and
I took a chill pill down at the brook, the freezing water brook.
Oh, and I was getting ready for the sauna. I mean, the jacuzzi. And boy, I got all of my mineral people, everybody, my rocks, and the ones that called me and believed me, they were screaming, "Mama AZ, we want to be in that water with you. We can help you heal. We can help discomfort. No joke. You guys can say whatever the heck you want to say about it. I've been doing this for 20 years, and I know what helps my body. So whatever you help get to help your body is whatever you get to help your body. And I'm going to do what I need to do to help this house that I walk in until it's time for me to leave the building, y'all. But it was awesome. It was awesome, sister.
Yeah. And we have to, I learned an important lesson about inflammation and pain is that we have to watch the words. That's what causes inflammation just as much as what we eat or what we're doing in our life. So all of you out there, if you have pain issues, you have to watch your words. You have to speak words of love, compassion, wisdom, understanding always to everyone, no matter who they are. And that's what will keep your inflammation down inside of you, because every cell in your body is of love. The Creator put us together with love. That was the energy. Every person in the womb that was knit together, the Creator had a purpose for them, and it was a purpose of love. I want you to come forth from the womb and do this, 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 this. Everyone has an assignment. Everyone has a mission. And so this is the love of the Creator. So when we come out of the womb, and we learn how to hate, and we learn how to curse, and we learn how to show evil, then that's what causes inflammation inside, because those cells are learning a whole new program of hatred. That's not what the Creator's intention was. So that's what we have to keep conscious about in our journey, is that the Creator's intention and purpose in putting us on the earth is love. So when we do anything against the love energy of our cells, of our microbes, then we're going to cause inflammation in the body. And so I'm so grateful that that lesson was brought home to me over the last week or two, that we have to be very conscious of our words, of our thoughts, and our actions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to... Go ahead.
And also, sister, I would very much love to add, you know, Sister Viata, when I have my moments, that's because I got stuck on, I want to say this word, but I'm not going to say it, and I don't know how to stop. I'm a walking zombie, and I'm still doing what I need to do. Pairing, you know, sitting at the machine. I'm literally sometimes sitting there asleep, and I'm sewing. You know, and it's like I don't know how to stop myself. To when I put my mind to it, then I got to finish this whatever I'm doing. And what I'm saying is sister says, anoint yourself with oil. So what I've started doing is I've started getting my sacred oils, aromatherapy, and when I'm anointing myself and doing my, I call it slapping, tapping, everybody, meaning I'm tapping and then you slap your body, not real hard, like you're trying to chill it, you know, or cancel, but, you know, abuse it. But just, you know, just lightly slap
it. It's a love tap.
To wake those molecules and those cells up. And as you are grooming yourself with oil, anointing yourself, you say, I give thanks, no matter what it might feel like in your brain. Like you want to just cuss because you're feeling that way. You just say, oh, I just love you, babies. I love you, limbs. I love you. I give thanks to the Most High that you have allowed me to move these 100-pound, 200-pound godfathers, meaning the boulders. And Sister Viata can tell you, I have some stones in this location that's kind of heavy. And I've learned how to manipulate, and they lighten their weight to mm-hmm. assist me in that. But sometimes I get to a level I don't know how to stop, and I pay for it. So I talk to my limbs, my appendages, my hands, and say, I love you, even though I feel how you're feeling. You're telling me I'm a knucklehead and I don't know how to stop, so I better learn how to pace myself. But I love you, and I broom myself down, anoint myself with oil, and I'm saying, give thanks. Give thanks. And you think that's crazy? Try it. Talk to your organs. When you're drinking yeah. water, you give thanks and blessings to that water. Put your water. Don't put it in the plastic. If you can possibly take your water out of a plastic, people, put it in a glass jar, sit it in the sun. If you do not have the stones, the crystals to do that, just sit it in the sun in a glass jar, glass bottle, for at least 2 days before you ingest it. And then you give thanks to that water for quenching your thirst, for giving you satisfaction of hydrating your body. And let me tell you something, people, you will notice a difference in how you feel. I've been doing this quite a bit now. So just check it out. Just put that in your peace pipe and smoke it. That's all I'm saying.
Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. It works. Definitely. Thanks for all things. Give thanks for all things. Not some, but all, good and bad. Give thanks for all things. So that's where we are today on Rock Medicine Women. We're giving thanks for all things. After an awesome journey together in Arizona, we were affirming each other and confirming what the Creator has, the assignment that the Creator has given us to do, and that is to give thanks as we journey and spread the love, spread the stones around, and bring healing wherever we go. And so that is our message to you, is to do the same. Every one of us, you listening, have an assignment to share the love. Spread your stones. Your stones are within you as well as without and around you. So spread your stones in love and let the healing flow from your stones, as Mama AZ is sharing the medicine wheel with the mineral people. And so we all have a job to share the love with our stones inside and outside of us. So I give thanks once again for this time we've had together to bring out the word of truth and light to the world on this wide world web. And we'll be back again on Sunday with Soul Purpose Healing. And we'll have a guest, I hope. Yes.
I'd like to add to the listening audience, seek out someone who is a kind person who loves to grow edible foods.
Yes.
And go to those beautiful ones who garden and get you some food, you know, and ingest it. Just if somebody maybe, if it's not in your immediate neighborhood, it could be on the next street that you are not aware of. Find ones that the Creator has gifted them the talent to grow nourishing foods to feed your body. And do what you can to leave as much junk out of your system that's in the store, processed in the boxes and carrying on, in the packages and what have you. Sometimes we do get kind of silly, but, you know, at least 50% of your food, find somebody that you could get your veggies from. They're right there, probably right there in your eyesight in the forest, and you can't see them for the trees. So just Do not be mouse. Be the eagle and search out those ones who have that healing gift of growing food. You know, Sister Viata, I am so grateful for my friend Charles Hawthorne, who's another Sagittarian, off the chain with his maters and with his corn. That corn,
mm-hmm.
people, that corn was so doggone sweet. Oh, my God. You could just eat it raw. It was like milk. And his onion, scallions. And I mean, okay, I can go on and on, but anyway, we got to go. So,
well, you know, Mom AZ, it's interesting to me that I was led to go to the farmer's market in Phoenix. That was no accident.
Oh.
Not only to meet the Golos who are doing this awesome job of growing good food, but it reminded
me
that in every city, you usually find a farmer's market. So everyone listening needs to be reminded that you need to, for your health's sake, for your nutrition's sake, find a farmer's market in your area. Even if you have to drive maybe a half hour or hour to get there, it's worth it every week to get food that is grown locally and that is grown organically. It is well worth it. I tasted some squash from the farmer's market in Phoenix from the Golo farmers, and you could really tell the difference that this squash was not something from California that had been grown on some land far away from me. This food was sweet. It was delicious. It tasted fresh. So it's worth it to find a farmer's market in your area and go there for your produce instead of the grocery store if you can, because that's where the best food is at the farmer's market.
That's my tip, too.
Along with all that Mom AZ has given. We're giving you all the knowledge, over understanding that you need to stay prosperous and to grow and come out of the matrix and to become the spiritual warrior that we were intended to be. So thank you, Mama
Sister.
AZ. Yes.
Thank us. And I want to say your music, Sister, is low. I don't know if it's your contraption. I could hardly hear your music. So check that out.
I have to work on that and download it from another source because I have Wes Ricks on here, but when I play, there you go. Shalom and aho.
Aho. Shalom.